Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Eve, everybody. It is time once again for some Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations here again on a Thursday. My apologies, we did not have a show last Thursday. It wasn't the coronavirus, the epidemic, the pandemic, anything like that that got me down. I just needed a week off. I apologize, but we are back at it. I needed kind of to recharge my batteries. I have done so, literally and figuratively. I mean, I had a lot of batteries that needed recharging around the studio here. But I got my emotional batteries all cranked up once again to bring you some more great conversations, and we have a couple of dandies on the way today here on episode number 30. By the way, I don't know how many of you know this, but the number 30, it used to be at the end of news articles, not printed, but for the copy to see that that was the end of the story. It translated then over into broadcast a little bit, especially here in the greater Sioux Empire, especially when a lot of people also refer to as Kelloland, and a super guy that was on the air for many years, and he's still the voice of Kelloland for some of their promotional type things and so forth. Doug Lund, a newscaster for a long time, he had a special that ran on Sunday nights called 30. It was a great feature program. Some used to call feature programs like that news magazines and so forth. Well, Doug was a master at it. You know what else Doug is great at? He's a great singer. He used to drum, but a couple weeks back, he joined Mogan's Heroes, whom he used to play with years ago as a drummer and a singer, and he joined them out on John Mogan's front lawn as one of the, instead of a virtual concert, they were actually doing a live concert. So that was a great time. And by the way, a little guy by the name of Bennett Moffitt played a few songs with them and had a few songs that he played beforehand. He's 10 years old. Phenomenal guitarist. If you're saying to yourself, Moffitt, that last name sounds familiar. I've been listening to this show and I've heard a Jesse Moffitt on a couple of times. This is Jesse's nephew. Trust me, there will be a time that Bennett Moffitt's going to be on this show as well. And by the way, Doug Lund is going to be on the show at some point as well, because he's just a super, super guy. All right. Levitt at the Falls was supposed to have their announcement last Thursday for what this year's 50 shows would be. Remember, last year was the first year, 30 shows, excellent program, free music in a beautiful park and a lovely band shell. But yeah, a lot of things are postponed. But we're going to find out that of the 50 contracts that were already signed, according to its executive director, Nancy Halverson, we're still in one form or another probably going to be seeing about 60% of those artists this summer. The other great conversation we have coming up for you later besides Nancy is going to be Kevin Gans. He's from the old Courthouse Museum. Known Kevin a long time since my old days at Kello AM. Had him on the show quite often there. He's now in his 24th year being at the old Courthouse Museum. That is a beautiful, beautiful place. Great museum, fun stuff. They are closed to the public and so forth too. But he's gone into the office every day because they had to have somebody in there just to make sure, you know, things don't fall apart. And I did ask him that all-important question. So you're going to have to listen for that interview at the end to see what that all-important question is. I'll give you a hint if you've ever seen Night at the Museum. Okay, there you go. All right. Those of you that are first-time listeners, one of the things we always include here in the opening monologue is an honorable mention award. You know how the term honorable mention somewhere along the line kind of meant you came in fourth. Yeah, you didn't win a medal or a prize or a ribbon or anything, but we'd like to honor you and mention you. Well, here at the Dave Holly Hour, we like to think of honorable mention as being truly honorable. And I give you a mention for something that you did to put a smile on my face or make me laugh, maybe even cry tears of joy or something along that line in the past week. Well, you know what? It's a special person that wins this week's honorable mention. This week's honorable mention goes out to a 91-year-old. She's been putting a smile on my face my entire life, and I affectionately refer to her as Mama Holly, because she not only puts a smile on my face because she listens to this program, but I am that perfect mix of both parents. My father taught me the ability to stand up in public and make a speech. Learned a lot from him, including business math, one of the greatest skills you can ever have. But I got my humor and my creativity from my mother. And this Sunday is Mother's Day. Mama Holly, I love you, and I wish I could be there to take you out for a Mother's Day lunch, but this whole pandemic thing means we're going to have to wait till we get our chance to go down to Lake Okoboji and have a Bloody Mary at the dry dock. But Mama Holly, thank you for being such a loving, caring, and funny lady. You are this week's winner of the Dave Holly Hour Honorable Mention. Coming up next, Executive Director for Lebanon at the Falls, Nancy Halverson, on the Dave Holly Hour.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
It is so great to talk about the Levitt at the Falls because it's amazing, but we're right now going to be talking a little bit differently than we thought we were going to be at this time. Last Thursday was supposed to be the big announcement, the whole 50 shows for the season. Yeah. Nancy Halverson, Executive Director, is with us, and we have a different format we're going with, don't we?
We do, and that's all right, you know. It's important to stay safe. That's what comes first.
Most importantly, no doubt about that. So, you know, back when we spoke in the fall, You were not going to let on to anybody that was going to be performing. Are we still at that point? Or are you going to say, well, here's who would have been? Or what are we doing? How do you want to start this?
Here's the deal. We had 50 contracts all set up, ready to go. And now we've had to kind of change some things and change the platforms, but I think we're still going to see 30 of those 50 artists in one
wonderful
way, shape or another.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And I know that you came out with some press on it, and it basically, it looks like you've got kind of a three-phase or three different sections to this. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually pretty excited about all of this because a lot of what I'm going to share is actually part of our long-range plan for the Levitt.
Okay.
You know, that we thought we'd be doing 3-5 episodes, and here's an opportunity to kickstart it, right? So we're going for the positive. We're making
As I knew you would.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you. So the first thing that we'll be doing, because we can't be on the lawn right now, and we know that restrictions are at their greatest right now, is we're going to be doing some concerts digitally. And we're calling this Levitt in Your Living Room. And it's going to be a different kind of project than what you've seen kind of on other digital platforms. Vani Harari is going to be the host for us. And Vani will be interviewing the artist and will be talking about their creative process. So for example, you might have an artist and you'll be hearing about how they wrote a song or why they wrote the song. And they'll play it for you, what we're calling campfire
version. I like it.
In your living room kind of thing. But then they'll get to talk about that song again or another song and their favorite concert experience. So you're seeing them in their rawest form, but then you get to see them in their finest form as well. Mm-hmm. Again, just it's that intimate conversation you've always wanted to have with the artist backstage.
I think of that. I was watching the Major League Baseball Network the other day. Just because I'm missing baseball so much. And I just had it on in the background, and they were going through all these famous home runs in World Series history. And one was of Kirk Gibson. And as much as rewatching the excitement of that home run and so forth was learning about the thoughts that were going into it and so forth. So I'm looking forward to this with the artists as well.
Yeah.
How soon can we expect the Lovett at the Lovett in your living room?
The very first one will be on May 16th.
Okay.
And we're in the planning for it now. We're going to open with our hometown hero. We're going to open with Corey of Corey and the Fireflies.
Awesome.
And then we've got about 12 that will do this first go-round. And we're thinking of that as kind of a mini series. So 12.
Okay.
I can't share the others yet because we don't have contracts signed. You know, this is all happening so fast. But I will give you a little teaser and say that if I get my way, if I get my way and I get all the people I want, you might see a finalist from America's Got Talent.
Oh.
You might see kind of a new kid coming up in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
You might see a new group coming out of Australia. So we've got some really exciting groups coming along. Oh, and another one is somebody who actually wrote a hit song that was part of a Hallmark movie.
Oh, fun.
There you go.
You know, and that's one of the great things we talked about last time around is the variety that we get with Lovett.
Yeah, you know, that is something that is so much fun to work on because we want to create this diversity of talent. You know, we want somebody for everybody. And that's been great fun to find all this new talent.
And what are we going to do once we have Lovett in your living room? What's phase two?
What's phase two? So the next part, and you know, some of this may be chicken or the egg, kind of depends on when restrictions ease and all of that. But in August and September, if we can be back on the lawn, we want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, obviously, right? We all want to be on the lawn if we can. If we have a few less restrictions and we can come together, but it's not quite time to be on the lawn. One of the ideas we've had is to turn the venue into a drive-in venue. And it's actually built for this beautifully. You know, if you're looking at the stage sitting on the lawn, you see that beautiful backdrop. There are actually barn doors that will open. And we can turn the artist around and have cars pull into the parking lot and channel the music into your radio, in your
excellent.
So we'll see. We've got a lot of things to work through there. You know, the Parks District has to be up and going. FCC has to agree to a license for us.
Right.
A few little things, but what the heck? Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Since I'm in my upper 50s now, do I still have to have a chaperone if I go to the drive-in?
I don't know. I'll be checking your hood. Make sure.
Okay.
I know those tricks.
Well, you know, when I heard the idea, I thought, boy, are they going to have, you know, vehicles on that beautiful lawn?
No.
Oh, no. You know, I thought, my goodness.
No.
I know that people are going a little crazy in the pandemic, but I didn't think it would hit that way.
The Parks District would have my head.
Yeah, I have the feeling they would. But I love that idea. How many vehicles is that set up for?
You know, it depends on whether we can get permission to use the Raven lot behind us, which I'm
mm-hmm.
I mean, we can get a couple hundred cars back there.
Wow.
That's much bigger than you think.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're thinking about also putting up some big screens so that if you're further back, you can still see it on the screen. But there's all kinds of ways to do this. We can be more clever. We can figure it out. Yeah,
that's what I've loved. I hate to use the word that I've loved something about the pandemic, but what's been so refreshing is the entrepreneurship that's taking place. And there are a lot of positive things that are happening right now. And music especially has been such a part of that. And
it's so important. I mean, it's such a huge part of our healing and our well-being. To find ways to continue to deliver that is critical.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So we look forward to whatever you can bring us. But, okay, so that's phase two. Phase three.
Phase three is near and dear to my heart. You know my history.
Yes, I do.
Phase three is called Love It in Your Neighborhood. And this is about bringing artists into our community to spend time in our schools, in our churches, in our community centers. This is where we get to go deep with the artists. This is where they come and stay a couple of days and do workshops with us. And this is where we get to do house concerts. And, you know, this is that really intimate relationship that we get to create with the artists. So we're really looking forward to that.
So you've got plenty of things. And in the meantime, one of the refreshing points has been on Kello TV, you've been running the Best of the Levitt. On Saturday afternoons, and I think there's one Sunday in there too, correct?
So, Dave, we have to talk about this because this is awesome.
I mean, yeah, it was great to sit there the other day going, okay, what can we do? Oh, hey, Spoon Cat's on.
Yeah. And what is so cool about this, and you're in the media world, you know, I mean, people can get a little territorial sometimes.
It True.
It's nature of the beast, right? Well, I tell you what, Kello, SDPB, they just said, yeah, we can do this.
That's awesome.
SDPB shot it last summer as part of their No Cover, No Minimum. Kello was looking for content because of the pandemic. And I said, well, we've got these things over here. And they went, sure, let's do it. Share them. How beautiful is that?
That is wonderful and so refreshing for a couple of things. First of all, the music, the performances and so forth. But also to look at that and go, wow, there were a ton of people at that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you from the stage.
It's yeah. It's like, wow. So that's incredible. Now, so what's going to justify everything this year then? Because, you know, last year it was, okay, we've got X amount of people we'd like to see throughout the 30. And you were supposed to move to 50 this year. And you had huge numbers. I mean, you blew away goals like crazy. Obviously, you're not going to be looking at 8,000 in a show for anything this time around. So what are you hoping comes out of it then?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the biggest goals of the Levitt has always been to get music to people who don't normally have it in their lives, right? Who may not feel welcome going to a fancy place to hear music, may not have the money to buy a ticket at a nice concert venue. Our goal has always been to be that place where anybody can come, anybody can have access. Well, the beauty of the internet is that gives a whole new audience access. You know that with your podcast. Yeah. You know, you're reaching people you never dreamt you'd reach. And it's the same thing here. You know, and I look at I'm kind of a numbers nerd. I look at the numbers on our Facebook page, who's been following. And, you know, there was a time last year, about 2 weeks after the Brulé concert, where we showed literally like 30 seconds of a snippet on Facebook, we had almost 48,000 views.
Whoa.
I mean, that's just crazy. So when I think about that, you know, yes, we can use those metrics for sure to see who's following us and who's watching. But I mean, we're reaching people who wouldn't get to the lawn, you know, for whatever reason. We've all got boundaries that keep us from doing things we want to do or, you know, things that get in the way. This will be accessible for everybody. And so it's just another way to meet our mission.
So you, when we started this, we went into phase one right away, and that's going to be Levitt in your living room. And then you also said that basically you sounded confident that we're going to be seeing or hearing from 30 out of the 50 acts that we're ready to go. But you still have some contracts to get in place, find out who's going to be where, et cetera. But what's their reaction been to this at this point?
They're delighted. you know, for so many of these artists, their work has fallen apart. You know, most of these artists that we see at the tier where we're hiring artists, I mean, it's about touring. The summers are all about touring, and it's a gig work, and it's, you know, it's tough. It's, and now it's just gone away, because when you can't line up those tours, the revenue doesn't work. You know, the cost share doesn't work. So for us to be able to call and say, hey, we're going to do this digital thing. We're going to pay you. You know, we're going to be fair. We want to really honor your work. They're delighted. And then for the ones who say, you know, we think we want to be able to bring you in town for even a couple of days longer than we thought. We want to do a residency. What do you think? They're delighted.
Good.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with the travel industry, obviously. But we'll just keep watching it. And when we can do it, we'll do it. I don't want to get caught up in this, what we can't do. I think it's more important.
Right.
Really think about what we can do.
Excellent. So we do have things to look forward to. That's that's the best part. No doubt about that. And of course, you've always got so many great things that you're kind of planning and working on and so forth. So when everything gets back to normal, which we might not be experiencing during this Leavitt season at any point. But let's say we wave the magic wand, the virus, and so forth, and we are back to at least a pretty good portion of normalcy next summer.
Yeah.
Are you going ahead then in the off season with that plan that that's what it's going to be?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are definitely. You know, and again, all of the things that we're doing this year are things we wanted to do in the long run. So we're just getting more tools in our toolbox. You know, none of this is going to go away. And especially with this digital stuff, it's a learning curve for us. You know, once we have these tools, we're going to use them.
Yeah, thankfully I had an 8-year-old granddaughter that could teach me Zoom.
That's a good thing. They are good, aren't they? That digital native. I love
yes,
that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Tell us about your staff. You know, last time we were so focused on all of the music and the goodwill for the community and so forth, but, you know, you still have people that are working and busting their humps to do what they can so that we have entertainment via the Leavitt. So let's give them some props.
Yeah, we have an amazing team. You know, and you have to think about that for a minute. I mean, they've been working for a year to put together this concert season of 50, you know, every day working it, and suddenly it was gone in a heartbeat, you know? So it would have been really easy for them to just, you know, freeze and get scared and run away and no, we can't be creative, but that's not what happened. They just really, you know, stepped up and came forward and done an incredible job. So just to give them love by name. So I think Laura Mullen, everybody knows, is our incredible volunteer coordinator. She has been out there making sure everybody's okay. She even worked with us. We delivered little flower pots with flower seeds to every single one of our volunteers just to tell them that we love them and there's hope. And then Tom Eisner, who does all of the kind of communication and logistics with all the agents, you know, he's been incredible. Call after call. Well, I think this is what we're doing. I think this is what we're doing. You know, changing, managing that beautifully. And of course, Roseanne Hopland, who is our communications and community engagement director, she's been killing it. I mean, to roll out this whole pivot plan and really express it with joy and love and a commitment to moving forward. I mean, that's her work. That's her setting the stage so that I could get out there and tell our story.
Well, having volunteered last year at some of the shows, I've seen Laura in action, and she also is one of those that she can dance and take the head count, clicking the little clicker all the way through the crowd all at the same time.
Oh, it's a multi-talented that girl.
That she is. And then I had the pleasure of meeting Tom back in either late January, early February, about that time, and just his knowledge of music.
We call him our musical savant. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
You've got some people working for you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what about volunteer opportunities this year then at this point? What are you looking for?
So actually we do. We have quite a few of our volunteers right now are working on sewing masks. We have some great community partners that we've been working with, like the folks at LSS who are really, you know, serving all those families at Smithfield right now. So we've put our volunteers who wanted to work, and we've been sewing masks and delivering them over there so that they have them on hand. So that's kind of been the most immediate. Going forward, we're looking for other ways to keep them engaged. You know, everybody's trying to figure out what this looks like now, but they've been so supportive of us. We want to be supportive of them as well.
What about merch sales, not only for you, but also for the artists this year then, with how everything's going to work, you know, doing virtual, maybe doing, you know, the drive-in look and so forth.
Yeah.
And the food trucks that were there last year and so forth. How are we going to be able to keep everybody engaged, happy, and looking toward the future as well?
Those are all good questions, things that we're trying to figure out right now. You know, if we're able to be on the lawn for any part of it, and we can, you know, with the health codes and all that, we will definitely have our food trucks out there. I don't think we'll be able to have JJ's, though, if we're doing concerts. And I think there might be a line on so, Tom gets it. Tom understands. But Tom, actually, I'm talking about Tom Slattery from JJ's, who is our great partner. We're actually talking about the possibility with these Levitt in your living room, actually having him deliver beverages and food to people's homes if they would like.
Oh, wow.
And our digital shows. So we're trying to be creative.
Yeah.
Trying to be creative. And the merch question, that's a great one. And I'm going to throw it back at you because we were just having the conversation today saying, do we go ahead and do t-shirts and hats and make them available? Do you think people would be interested?
Yes, I do. I think you hit it hard social media wise, letting everybody know that they're available. And if you can, you know, maybe a little incentive. Would also be if you could get the artists, you know, get some signed and so forth. Oh, and, yeah. You know, if you purchase one, you'll also be in the running for possibility of another prize or something. So.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. See?
That's why I need you in my life, Dave.
Well, I need you in it too, because it is such a pleasure. I mean, we kind of lost a little touch for a few years because of your worldly travels and places you've lived and so forth. But when the opportunity came up and I saw that you were going to be the executive director, I said, I got to see Nancy.
Oh, thank you. So glad.
I already had the plans for the podcast forming anyway and knew I would be doing it. It's like, well, she's going to be one of my regulars again.
That's awesome. I love it. Thank you for that.
Oh, it's a pleasure to help promote it because I am just such an arts and entertainment lover, first of all, very passionate about it, love to advocate for it. And when this whole Levitt, you know, which was new to me, and I think probably a very high percentage of the people in our community. It's like, seriously, we're going to be able to go see live? It's going to be outdoors? And I think I told you this at the last time that we talked back in the fall when we were recapping season one was, you know, my wife and I drive that way a lot. We're big Falls Park lovers. Yeah. And we kept seeing this thing being built. And it's like, oh, yeah, so forth. And then when we went to training for being a volunteer, and you're up on that stage and you look out at that beautiful lawn. It's like, oh my goodness,
this is
top notch.
Yeah.
And so a wonderful venue, and we saw such great entertainment there last year. And so looking forward. And now we're just going to be sitting in here and drinking something from JJ's maybe and watching a great show. All right. So we look forward to that. But so beyond next year, even, because you said that some of these things are already in place,
yep.
You've shuffled the deck. So what are even more big projects that you're looking forward to?
You know, I just think there's all kinds of things we can do. I think getting more into arts and education is super important. I think there's lots of ways to do that. Just bringing more and different artists, just getting more people to the lawn. You know, I think the sky's the limit with what we can do. Collaborating with more of the local arts organizations now that we kind of have our feet wet, I think we can do more of that. I'd love to work with some visual artists maybe and do some cool collaborations. I just think there's all kinds of things we can do.
Yeah, when you said that about visual, it made me think of something that I saw back in the middle of the mid-80s. It was, I was out working in Greeley, Colorado, and the University of Northern Colorado there had a big art festival every May. And they had something called an art attack. And they had a guy that every time a new band came up, he would just start painting something, very abstract and so forth. But it was so fun to watch because basically he was coordinating his brush strokes with the beat of the music.
Oh, cool. That was great
to watch. Yeah. So there, see, I'm throwing you another bone right there.
There's lots of ideas. There's no shortage of good ideas.
That's excellent. So, you know, what are we looking at? You know, besides the visual artists and so forth, what's the grand prize for what you want at the Levitt?
Oh, gosh. That's a hard one, Dave. I mean, I think just to be able to get into the rhythm of 50 a year is going to be a lot. So I think that is the next big thing. Once we accomplish that, I don't know. We'll have to get our heads around that.
All right. Well, we look forward to it regardless. and I know you talked about your staff and as well about the volunteers. But you also mentioned education. Now, are there any internships that you have or are looking forward to maybe?
Yeah, we actually did have some interns lined up for this year.
Okay.
That has had to change.
Right.
Well, but we will be growing our internship program as we go because I think
awesome.
That, you know, what we do, how we do it is really a great learning environment for young people.
Well, I think that it's starting to show promise as a bigger career than people used to think it was for managing events, especially musical events, venues, and so forth. And if nothing else, if it's just somebody that's into music, you know, maybe it's going to help them if they're doing gig work, you know, and how to write contracts and all the different aspects that can, that could come out of it. So, yeah, that'll be great to see as well. This is the fun part, is that even though we didn't get to do this face to face like we did last time, or like I hope we can get back to doing very soon, with Zoom, and me having new internet connection, I can actually see you.
All
right. So it was great to see you, Nancy.
Great to see you, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You take care. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
It's another Sue Empire Arts and Entertainment conversation on the Dave Holly Hour.
It is such a pleasure to have this young man on with me this time around because he and I go back quite a ways. It's been probably 20 plus years since we've spoken in this manner in a conversation about the wonderful Old Courthouse Museum. From the Old Courthouse Museum, Kevin Ganz, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you tonight, Dave?
I'm doing well, thank you. But, you know, I suppose I really can't say young man anymore because you've been at the job 24 years now?
24 years, and I was going to thank you for the comments there of the young man. That made me feel really good.
Well, you still look like one. You have hair yet.
I lots of it, too. I really need a haircut.
Yeah, so you can pull it off. Yeah, see, when you're in a quarantine and you've got a haircut like mine, trust me, it's nothing. Little clipper here and there, and you're done. Over and done with.
I had some friends who told me, boy, my life got a lot easier these days. So.
You, however, haven't been quarantined as such because you've actually been going into the office. But tell us what the situation is right now, not just with the Old Courthouse Museum, but to all of the functions that the Old Courthouse Museum oversees at this point, too.
Well, certainly, you know, we're dealing with a lot of the same types of issues that everybody's dealing with right now. Our buildings, all three of them, the Old Courthouse, the Pettigrew Home and Museum, and our Museum Resource Center, are all closed to the public. Staff is still reporting, And one of the things to remember too is our buildings are government owned. And so we are employees of Minnehaha County, and the county is currently closed until the end of May. So we are closed to the public, but our staff is reporting. We have lots of people who are working from home, remoting in. We have staff that is still reporting to our buildings. And when you have buildings that are over 100 years old, it's important that someone is in them.
True.
And regularly.
Maintain that regardless.
Absolutely. So, you know, you never know when something can go wrong. And so we need to be in the buildings. But we've definitely separated out, and it is a real strange time for us with the museum.
No doubt about that. But also there's got to be some other things that come along with that, because, you know, one thing that a lot of people take advantage of with the old courthouse museum is renting it out. So besides, you know, tourism dollars, you're also losing some revenue in other regards too, aren't you?
Well, absolutely. You know, we compete as a wedding venue often. And unfortunately, we've had to disappoint some brides in the last weeks. And I can only imagine what that is, you know, the planning. In scheduling programming for the museum, I always used to say, I can't keep up with a bride. You know, I may know what I'm doing 6 months out, but she knows what she's doing 2 years in advance. And even getting a date on the calendar. So people have been working a long time to get this very special date on the calendar. And we try to do our best to make it a special day for them. And unfortunately, we've had to cancel many of those. And I know that hurts them, and it hurts us as well. We do need to generate revenue for the museums, and our rental of our buildings is certainly one of those aspects that we need.
When it does open up to the public again, first of all, what type of opening are you expecting? What type of splash do you want to make with the thought that there might not be the availability of allowing a bunch of people in at one time?
You know, I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, you know, our business is crowds. We want people in our building. We, you know, that's our business, and crowds are not the in thing right now. And when we get the green light to open the building, I think we're going to try to do it very conscientiously, very slowly. It may involve limiting the number of people that are coming into the building at any given time. Our director currently is working on a plan. It's a several week plan in which we would phase a little bit more time that we're open, a little bit more things that might be going on with the museums. But I think it's going to be a really slow opening for us. And you know, we're looking back at the types of things that we've had to cancel in the last several weeks too, and some of them were some large gatherings, and you know, we were supposed to be involved with a number of different events as well. So, you know, it's kind of figuring out where does, you know, do we push these things back, and you know, do we still try to do some of them even this year, or do we just look to next year too? So a lot of planning, I think, is going on to get us open.
Now, what about in terms of the exhibits and so forth and timeframes on those? Is what's in there right now going to be what'll be there when you do reopen?
Well, we're really excited. We have a brand new exhibit in the building that nobody's seen. it was set to open in mid-April. And we have it all set, and it's one that we're actually really excited about. The title of it is Scenes of Sioux Falls, and we really drew on our historic photographs. We have over 60,000 photographs in the collection of the museum. And we kind of wanted to tell a little bit of history and the change of our community through our photographs. And it's very hard to sit down and say, you know, Kevin, just pick your 100 favorite photographs in the collection. That's really hard to do, but, you know, I love everything from, you know, looking back at the early development, 1870s and 1880s photos that we have, up until the 1960s, just before urban renewal came to downtown and such. And we've got a really great mix of those, and taking a look at different intersections and at different time periods, what that intersection looked like and what buildings are there, what buildings are missing, what do we remember, what, you know, what does no one remember these days? So we're really excited to get some people in to see that, as we didn't get a chance to really kind of have a splashy opening like we're used to with that. So we're really excited with that. We've got our motorcycle exhibit, which had opened last year and is still very, very popular. We've got a lot of people coming in for that. So especially with the weather getting nice here and everybody wanting to ride again, it's a great time to think a little bit about motorcycles and such. So, and our toys, as well. We're all trying to think of things that entertain us, and thinking of those toys when we were young and all the things we used to play with. I mean, that's it's nice to walk down memory lane there. So we've got lots of things going on in the museum, and our exhibits are going to be there and ready and open for the public.
Well, you mentioned the toys, and of course, we just went past Star Wars Day with May the 4th be with you, and you do have some Star Wars in there, don't you?
We do, absolutely. Yes, it was May the 4th. Everybody was doing a little something, and certainly we do have a case of some of our Star Wars toys there, so we made sure to give a plug to that as well. Even some of my own toys are on loan.
Tell. What do you have in there?
Nothing really exciting at all. I have my Light Bright, if you remember.
I certainly do. Yeah.
And I have my Rubik's Cube, which, don't worry, completed? It's never been solved. No, it's never been completed. Well, I can say it has. I took all of the pieces.
You took the stickers off? That's what I did.
Together. those are certainly in there. So.
What were some of the unique things that came about with that exhibit, though?
Well, I think it's just kind of interesting as you look back, and I was just kind of amazed at how long some of these things have been with us, and I didn't think they were that old. I think back to some of the Fisher Price things that I played with as a really little kid, who I thought it was very, very new during my time period, but actually they've been around for a really long time. Even that little Fisher Price phone that you pulled along with you and the eyes blinked up and down. And, it's some of these things have just been with us for a really, really long time. So it's kind of amazing to think a little bit about.
So what do we look at in the future then? Once we get opened up again, you're going to have the exhibits in there for a while yet, but what are some things that you had been planning that are maybe at this point just kind of on hold? You've had to hit the pause button. What are we looking at that may be coming down the pike for us?
Well, obviously summer is a really busy time for us. And unfortunately, we have had to put the pause button on a lot of our day camps that we've done. One of them, I guess I would say at this point, I don't think is going to be happening in 2020, is our Pioneer Day Camp. And we've been doing that since the early 80s. I've got campers who came as kids back then who are now sending their children to that day camp. And, so that's a sad business for us too. One that we're really usually very excited about is we celebrate Senator Pettigrew's birthday in July, and then our alliance, our friends organization, they host a homes tour in the cathedral neighborhood, and we can have anywhere from 300 to 500 people show up in the evening for that, to go see three to four other houses in the neighborhood, private homes. But that's probably that's not going to happen for us in 2020 here. But, one of the things I think a lot of people look forward to in the summer is our summer concert series every Friday at noon. Mm-hmm. We have our free concert series, and it's going to happen. I feel pretty confident in that. It's just the when. Right now, our tentative plan is we're going to be looking at that concert series coming back in July, I think. And maybe by mid-July, we'll be able to have those concerts again.
That would be excellent.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, it's not only, the staff wanting to feel comfortable. We want people feeling, the public to feel comfortable coming to the museum and trying to do that the best way we know how.
In the meantime, you've been hitting social media pretty hard, letting people see what is in there with the exhibits and so forth. What kind of response are you getting from that?
We're getting a really good response, actually. museums are just around the country. This is how we're trying to get the word out. This is how we're trying to keep people interested. And so you can follow us on Facebook. We've got an Instagram account as well. And one of the new things, I don't know that I feel really great about that, but of course we have a YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
Well, this time of year, I would be in the schools on a daily basis.
Right.
And doing some sort of programming for kids. It's a passion of mine. It's part of the mission of the museum, is that education program. And so we've done a lot to take some of those programs that we would normally be presenting out in the schools and putting them on YouTube. And I've got teachers who are sending them out to their students, and our watches are going up. So certainly you can go out and you can check out, if you're interested in the Pioneer Experience or the Civil War Soldier, that's a great opportunity there. I also just recently filmed, and we're hoping to have that up, maybe even by the end of the week, a virtual tour of the Pettigrew Home. So you can still get a chance to head through the Pettigrew Home. But yeah, we've tried to stick with on our social media, what kind of is timely as well. I'm amazed at every day is national something or another day. So we've tried to look into the collection. What do we have? What might support some of that? And, you know, so we've had a lot of fun with that. I know one that I was involved with, we did just aerial photos of the city, and it was a, guess where the area is. What are we showing you? And what does it look like? And most of these were some early views from the 50s and 60s, some aerial views, and hoping to bring back some memories for some people. So.
Well, I think you've got a great tie-in with we've had the flyover of Sioux Falls and now of South Dakota recently during this time frame. And will that then at some point be a comparison look?
No, I don't. You know, if you come to our new exhibit, we've got some great drone view of the city in there that you can take a look at. So I'm just, you know, I'm amazed every time I look at it. And as you see what has changed in the community, and, you know, it's kind of, we like to play the game. What are we looking at here? and trying to figure out. So sometimes we have to play as much detective as we ask other people to be when we throw things out there. So.
Well, I grew up down in Rock Rapids, and of course, you know, the big thing was to come up to Sioux Falls. And so I've been viewing the city of Sioux Falls for 50 plus years, but have lived here now over 20. And I'm so amazed at things too when I take a look at some of those pictures, and then it finally clicks. Oh yeah! So it's just a fun thing, and I guess that's one of the things that I love about the old courthouse. Is first of all, the building itself is nostalgia, and then everything you see in there is such a great way to showcase what has taken place in Minnehaha County throughout the years. What does it draw for you being in there all the time?
Well, I sometimes feel like I get a little immune to it. You know, I'm in the building every day. My office is on the third floor, you know, but every now and then, it's a lot of times when I'm outside of the building and I'll turn around and I'll look up. I might be standing on the street corner waiting to cross the street to come back, and I'll just look up at that building and I'll say, wow, I get to work there. You know, and it's been such a big part of my life. I didn't grow up here in Sioux Falls either. I grew up in Western New York and came out here to go to college at Augie, and then got a position with the museum after college. So, you know, really, my time in Sioux Falls, the old courthouse has really been a part of that for most of it. So, you know, it's certainly a great place. And every time I read about the times in the 1960s when it was threatened, in the early 70s when people thought that maybe a parking lot would be a better use of that space, you know, it's just amazes me. And I think we're all pretty happy that we were able to keep that building right where it is.
So when did it become a museum?
1974.
74.
Is when it became officially part of the museum system. And Today, the museums, we operate under what is called a joint cooperative agreement between the city of Sioux Falls and Minnehaha County, with the Pettigrew home being owned by the city and the old courthouse being owned by the county. So we kind of dabble a little bit with both governments on that, but certainly out there to provide a service for all of our citizens and all of our visitors here that are coming to this community and this region. So
when we get an out-of-town visitor, you know, because one of the things that regrettably is down right now, obviously, and is going to be for a while, is tourism dollars throughout the state. But, you know, at least most of us in this area are going to have some inkling about what the Old Courthouse Museum is about. But when you get the people that are traveling through on their way out to the Black Hills, they decide to stop, have a stay in Sioux Falls, what's your big selling point on the Old Courthouse?
Well, a lot of times I do think it is our building itself. We have a billboard out on I-90, and it's got a picture of our clock tower, and our saying is, make time for history. And people do. They come down, but I think we just really want to point out how rich a history we do have here. And I think sometimes as residents, we grow up here, and we always think the history is somewhere else. It's not here in our own backyard. And I know I did that in my own hometown when I was growing up. I didn't always appreciate what was right there for me to experience. And I think we have a very rich history. And I think that our visitors who come in, I think when they walk away, not only have they had an opportunity to go into a fantastic building, but they've gotten a little bit of history. They've gotten a snapshot of what we're about here. And I think it shows off that Sioux Falls in this area is a great place to live, full of great people. And, we've had our struggles like any place, but, it's really a wonderful community. And I think they walk away with that when they leave our institution.
What's the exhibit that you haven't had that you hope to?
Well, we're always looking for great ideas, and, certainly that's something you can always do. You can always, shoot us an email, drop us a line and say, hey, I think an exhibit on this would be a lot of fun. I think we're getting closer and closer for my own personal, in my own personal view. I'm very interested in, and we're dabbling a little bit with it, especially with this new exhibit, but I'm always really interested in urban renewal. And because my working downtown, I've become a downtown person. If I'm going out on a weekend, it's going to be to go downtown, and that really wasn't the case not too long ago. But it was the case, 50, 60 years ago. That is still where you went. So I'm very interested in how urban renewal and some of the policies of the 60s and 70s really changed our community and how we're working to bring things back. And, that's kind of been some of the newest, that's been my new thing is to look a little bit more into that. And of course you have to look at things with a grain of salt too. You can't just, shake your fist at our leaders at that time and say, why did you do this? But, you got to look at what was going on across the country at that time. And, we were just talking about it today. Not everything should have been saved. There were certainly some things that were ready to go. So,
yeah, that is the interesting part about history and whether it's historical and whether it's a historical monument. At what point do we say, we really don't need it because it didn't have that big of an impact? That has to be a tough part in drawing the line on that.
It doesn't, we can't be the only keepers of history in this community. We have to rely on people themselves in our community to kind of be interested in their own story and wanting to preserve that and pass it down through their family. And hopefully, through some of the programming that we do and some of the workshops and things like that we offer, that we can help maybe that person figure out how's the best way to tell my story so that it lives on, our hope through some of that programming that we do through the museum is that we're able to, to bring somebody's story back to life that, maybe they passed 100 years ago, but maybe we have the opportunity, we can bring that story back to life for somebody. So That's a really exciting part of it. But yeah, you know, history's happening, you know, every minute. And it's hard to decide what's important and what's not. And we think about that all the time. You know, if we take something into our collection, you know, what story is it going to tell in the future? But what do we have going on in the past year or two is something that we need to think about. And I will tell you, honestly, at our research center, we've got a box and it's labeled COVID-19 epidemic. Right. We're trying to figure out what to put in that box that's going to tell the story that we're experiencing today. You know, just over 100 years ago, people were experiencing a flu epidemic, very similar to what we're going through, shutting down of our communities and no gathering and stay-at-home orders and such. And, you know, we look back on that, and I know we've dealt with that in a couple different instances in exhibits in the past. So 100 years from now, people are going to want to know what did they do in 2020 when they were dealing with this and how best to figure that out.
Yeah, and there's other things to come along too. You know, not just events worldwide, but then there's also just kind of like what I like to call subculture things that take place. You know, I know one of the things, obviously, I'm very passionate about arts and entertainment. And that's pretty well the substance of this show. And one of the things that I keep saying is that it's like there was this huge explosion all of a sudden of new ways to bring things to the stage. You know, it wasn't just any longer that it was community theater. You've got other troops now performing. They've got other places to perform. They'll pull up a spot in a brewery and perform there. Improv groups. All the solo acts and so forth that have come along. And, you know, is that something that we're going to see, you know, in maybe a few decades, that'll be pointed to that says, this is when things really turned around for the city of Sioux Falls because the arts grew. And because of that, all the rest of culture grew.
I am just amazed by how creative people are out there and how people are using the resources that they have in their home and their minds to just, you know, it's just boggling my mind many times of the types of things I can scroll through Facebook and get an invite to do this. That's going to follow all the rules. We're going to social distance and we're going to do that, but we're going to have a good time while we do it. And we're going to learn something or we're going to be entertained, you know, and I'm just fascinated. It's a testament to kind of the human spirit of what's going on here. And I think in our arts and entertainment community, I think they're doing such a great job to keep us going and to keep us uplifted in a time like this. So I think it's fascinating.
It has been.
We're only going to build on it.
Of course, one of the fascinating parts of this town, Old Courthouse Museum. It is such a joy to go in there. I've been an officiant at a wedding there. I've DJed a wedding there. thought about having my own there, but Christmas Eve late at night, you probably wouldn't have been open. In fact, I think I actually did call.
You might have called. Yes, those are hard ones. Those are hard ones indeed. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and you know, when we started doing weddings, you know, however many years ago, it's a great revenue source for the museum, but at the same time too. It brings in people who may not necessarily ever step in our doors.
Right.
I talk to a lot of people. I know history is not their thing and museums are not their thing, but they'll tell me I've been in there. I came to a wedding there. Great. Well, and while I was there, I kind of looked at this or that and that. And I'm like, see, you know, that's exactly what we wanted you to do. When you come to a wedding there, we make sure our galleries are still open when you come through. So you get a chance to walk through and maybe you'll learn a little bit of something. So.
That's for sure. But we always learn when we talk to you, Kevin, and it's great to see you on Zoom here. Wish it were face-to-face. It will be again sometime.
Sometime soon.
That is just a reminder to you that you will be back on the show. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dave, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. These are great times.
And it reminded me, though, when you were talking about the fact that your office is on the third floor, The last time I climbed up to your office, I weighed over 400 pounds. I'll have to do it now because I've got a new hip, a new knee. We're down over 100 plus pounds. So
excellent.
Hopefully we'll make it up there easily.
Well, that's right now part of my exercise regimen is up and down those stairs. And I try to stay out of the elevator as much. And my Fitbit tries to remind me every now and then that it's it's time to do those stairs.
So. Final question, though, with you being there, one out of only a few people. Are there any ghosts?
I knew that was your question as soon as you said that. And I will tell you that, I'm often the last person out of the building at night. And so far, so good for me.
Okay.
As I like to say, haven't been hoodooed yet in the building and never had the bad feelings. I've been in there in the dark at 3 a.m. before, and yet it just doesn't.
Okay.
Just doesn't have the feel for me. So.
All right. Glad to know that. All right. Kevin Gantz from Old Courthouse Museum. Great time. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, always my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll have more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thank you all for listening. It was a pleasure to have you along today. Thanks again to my great guests, Kevin Gantz from Old Courthouse Museum and Nancy Halverson from Levitt at the Falls. Make sure that you follow them on Facebook and keep up to date with everything that they have going on, despite the fact we may not be able to physically go somewhere to see concerts or exhibits at this time, but they'll both keep you entertained and informed. I guarantee you that. Additionally, there are a few things going on virtually yet, including Posh Concert Series tonight at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live from 6 Feet Over. Those guys are awesome. Can't wait to take that in tonight. It's going to be great. Coming up Sunday night, 8 p.m. from Boss's Comedy Club. It's going to be a Facebook Live event. Luke Johnson, local comedian, is going to be hosting a little program he likes to call Vocabularious. And then next Friday, May 15th, I will be with the Sky Lounge. Probably at this time, we're going to go with virtual trivia once again at 7 p.m. And that would be on the Dave Holly Hour Facebook Live. And speaking of, make sure that you like the Dave Holly Hour Facebook. Don't forget, I also happen to have a website, DaveHollyHour.com, including some merchandise that's now posted. But you know how those great TV infomercials go. But wait, there's more. If you are the first to go to my website, take a look at what you like, be the first to send an email at DaveHollyHour@gmail.com and tell me why you should get that merchandise. If you are the first one to do so, and in the subject line, put in the subject line, I listened till the end. All right? Because that means you're listening to this now. Please do so. I would be honored to send you something from the Dave Holly Hour because you listened all the way through. That's going to do it for me for this week. Talk to you again next Thursday with more great Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.